God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Morning. You may have caught on this morning that we're hearing about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. It kind of keeps showing up, amen? I mean, like it's in the music, it's in the readings, we hear it sort of over and over again, this Jesus, Good Shepherd. And that is a good thing to be thinking about, I think, during this Easter season that we continue. But it's also a good thing for us to hear when we know that Jesus is our good shepherd. That allows us to be the flock, amen? So we know where it is we belong. But we live in this world where we're always striving to figure out where we belong and how we belong there. And we go through all these actions and we try to figure this out along the way. It's like, well, do I belong in this job? Do I belong in this town? Do I belong in this career? Do I belong all these places? Maybe even when we're younger, you know, what group do I fit in when I'm in school? Yeah, we all understand and remember those things, amen? The one thing I always knew, by the way, is I didn't belong. I mean, and I did, and once I discovered I didn't belong, I lived a life and in such a way that I made sure I never belonged. Now, do you know what I mean? Well, I could show you the pictures. You know, the hair down the middle of my back, the earrings, the whole routine. And whatever it was that made sure I stayed out on the edge, that's what I would do. But the problem is out there on the edge, I was nurtured by the edge. Not a good thing. That taught me to chase after things that kept me even further out of maybe the norm. And so you just learn to live your life, I don't fit in, so I'm just going to rebel against everything that is. Anybody know what I mean? Yes. So here we start to look into our lives, maybe grow up a little bit, and or get older at the very least. And we are still just trying to fit in. And then we start to listen to the world even more. And we start to do all the things that the world okays. Get the job, work the hours, get the right house, the right car, the education if it's available to you. Whatever it may be, that's what we gotta have. And we chase and we chase and we chase. And one thing that we generally discover, and you let me know if I'm wrong, what we discover in all of that chasing after the world, it's never enough, amen? No matter what it is, no matter how good the job is, it's never enough. No matter how much money we make, it's never enough. No matter how big the house is, there's always one that's bigger. No matter how nice the car is, there's always one that's nicer. And we just keep telling ourselves over and over again, yeah, but when I get the next thing, that's when everything will be okay. When I complete this next part of my life, that's when everything will be okay. And then we do that, and guess what? It's not okay. It reminded me of, I lived in Colorado for about 5 years of my life. Have you ever hiked in the Rocky Mountains? Well, here's the thing. If you've hiked in the Rocky Mountains, you're thinking, we're hiking to that peak right there. And then you get to it, because you think it's the highest one. Guess what? It's not. There's another one. Now, I was young when I was there, and we're like, okay, great. This isn't the highest peak, that one is. We're hiking over to that one. And then you get up on the top of that one, guess what? It's not the highest one either. There's still another one higher. No matter what you did, no matter how long you climbed, how far you climbed, you were never on top. Anybody feel like life might be like that a little bit? Now, some of us started even lower. I remember very well, it's like describing my life, it's like I'm clawing to the surface, and about the time I make it to the surface, somebody comes over and goes, look how close you are, and down I go. Couldn't even get to the lowest level, but we just keep trying, and we just keep striving, and we keep turning to the world and saying, give me what I need, give me what I need. Oh, and the world goes, well, try this. And so you run over there and you try that. It's never enough. It's never enough. In the midst of the whole thing, the one thing we always know for sure is something is missing. Amen? We want to belong, and strangely, we just can't find that place. And sometimes we get discouraged, so we just bury ourselves in the one thing that we think gives us value. And the world will give it value. and we all fall into it. There are times I get through the week and I'm thinking, man, I put a lot of hours in. Woo, look at the hours I put in as a priest. And I start thinking about how many hours did I work, and it's like, who cares how many hours you work? The question is, how many people did you minister to? That's what you're supposed to be doing. And then I remember, oh, yeah, I guess I could do that. Instead of running around like crazy trying to get stuff done, maybe I could just sit and listen to somebody for a minute. Might change their life. It will for sure change mine. But you all live in a different space than I do. Those of you who are working, those of you who are in school still, I don't know what it's like retired. I guess I'd have to talk about that. But the one thing I know about retirement is I don't think I have the energy to be retired. Because retired people are way too busy. I'm thinking, I thought the whole idea was to not be so busy. But they're the busiest people. It's easier for me to coordinate with somebody who's working 60 hours a week than it is with somebody who's retired. So I haven't explored that because I'm already tired, and I guess that's why I become retired. It's just a different way of being tired. But I have this unique perspective as a pastor, and it benefits me, I hate to say that out loud, but I should. Watching you and your lives and the way in which you move and do your life, it reminds me of things that I either should be doing or things maybe I shouldn't be doing. But what I do get out of that is I get to see when people are doing very, very well and understanding the fullness of their life and their life abundant as was intended by Christ. And then I see, could be the same person, by the way, and myself included, suddenly life doesn't feel so abundant. And we start chasing after the quick fix, the worldly. And sometimes we catch on right away and other times we don't. We just keep going after it when we know it's still never going to be enough. But if I could just do this, then I would belong. Then I would feel whole. But it never happens. In fact, the worst thing that happens in the midst of it is we have come too close to Christ. And then for whatever reason, the world distracts us and we chase that distraction to exhaustion, worse, to destruction. I've seen that too. How did I recognize it? Because I've done that too. But from my perspective as pastor, I can watch people come close to Christ. I can see in their faces the depth of joy that they have as they're living a life in Christ. And then I also see them get distracted by the world and go running after that world, thinking that somehow all that joy and all that connectedness to God can go into the world with them when they pay no attention to God anymore. And it doesn't work. See, the problem is, brothers and sisters, you come too close. You come too close to Christ, you come too close to the Good Shepherd, and he brings you into the fold. And then the thief comes and says, hey, come this way. And suddenly you find yourself leaving the fold, but not by the gate. You don't follow the Good Shepherd out. You find one of the thieves who comes to steal and destroy, and you go, that looks good. And we go after that, and our lives become chaos. Sometimes it's visible, sometimes it's not. The one thing it is for sure, it's internal. We know it and we feel it. We know when it's not right, amen? We know when we're missing the thing that matters most. But yet we will still look at that thing in the world and go, if I could just do this, if I could hold on to this, if I could just get the right job, if I could just get my kid in the right position or the right sport or the right school, if I myself could get into those positions, if I could just get that next raise, if I could just get the next house, if we just have a better car, and we go chasing after that and we chase it and we chase it and we chase it and we discover, I still don't have it. And unfortunately, sometimes we discover that when we're laying in the bed and everyone's standing around our bed. I've done this too with people. I don't think I did enough with my life. They begin to question, what's going to happen to me when I die? And I have to remind them. They're like, but I didn't do a very good job of following the good shepherd. Will I be in the fold? You're in the fold. The question is, are you listening to the thief? Are you hearing his voice? Then you get those moments when you know you're hearing his voice and everything goes so well. And then we get distracted. And then things fall apart. I've watched families fall apart simply because they came too close and were listening to the Good Shepherd and they were walking with Christ and they were living a life in Christ and it was a life abundant. And then suddenly something changed and they just kind of drifted this way or that way. And then their life starts to fall apart. And then somebody goes, wait a second. And then they talk to their pastor. And they tell them all that's going wrong and all the chaos that they have. And I just smile and I say, that's interesting. Tell me more. And then they tell me more about what's wrong. And I said, when was the last time it felt right? And what did that feel like? And they described to me what it felt like then. And I said, so what's different between then and now? And they say to me, well, I know. You want me to get back in church? Yes. Yes, I do. Not so I can count your head or count your money or any of the rest of it. Brothers and sisters, I want you in the fold as where the good shepherd has placed you. Through his body and blood, he became the gate for you to enter in. And if you don't follow him out and you climb out the other side, you are no longer following the good shepherd. You're chasing the world. The world will not give you what you want. It can't. You're too close. He's saying, come to me, follow me, know my voice. And the world goes, but hey, look at this. This is shiny. And we're like, ooh, I like shiny. And off we go. And our life is falling apart behind us and around us. And we're like, but there's another, oh, I thought this was the shiny thing. I'm going to go get that shiny thing. And then it'll be okay. And it won't be. It won't. Believe me, don't believe me. I don't really have any say in it. But I have a unique perspective. I get to watch you do it. And then my desire for you to have the fullness of life which Christ offers you gets turned into, he just wants more people in church. No, I want people in the kingdom. Why? That's my job. Point people to the kingdom. I can't tell you how many tears I've shed watching families fall apart because they chose the world over following Christ after they've come too close. And in order to cover up the chaos, they fall deeper into the world to try and fill that hole that the world will never fill, I promise. I don't think there's a single thing in this world that I haven't grabbed a hold of and tried to fill that void in my life. Not one thing. Come and test me on it. Come tell me what you're chasing, and I'll let you know how I ended up not getting what I needed from it. I promise, I have probably chased every single thing you can imagine and never got the fullness of what I have in a life in Christ with the Good Shepherd. I'm not an expert in following him, by the way. If you think I am, pay closer attention to what I'm doing. I screw it up and fail, as everyone will from time to time, and then he takes me back. He's like, oh, I see you climbed over the side fence there again, Brian. I'm the gate. Why don't you try coming back in through me? And when you go out, let me lead you out. Let me give you that life and give it to you abundantly so that your life will have within it the peace and the knowing of Christ. It won't get any better. You're still going to get sick. Your body's still going to break down. Your family members are still going to pass away. You're still going to struggle with the world. You're still going to succeed and fail at the level that the world measures success and failure. But the difference will be this. You will know you're walking with your Lord. And he will provide in the strangest little ways that you never expected. And he will never leave you. And at the moment you think he's left you, you will discover that although you're struggling to know his presence with you, when you're in the sheepfold, the sheep with you will hold you up until you can see him again. They will show you over and over again where Christ is. So do I want you in church? Of course I want you in church. What do you pay me for? Why? So that you can have life and have it abundantly. That's what we're called to. That's what he offers through his very body and blood. He's the sheep. And as I was reading through this passage from Acts, I wanted to back up to verse 41. It says, "So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added." This passage is about the first converts, the first ones to say, "We're interested in this Jesus." And his followers said, "Well, here it is. Let me tell you about it." And they're like, "I hear that. I welcome that message." They get baptized. They come into the church. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Wow. That sounds really strange and familiar, doesn't it? Well, it should. I got this right at the early service. My memory's not that great, so let's see how it goes. Page 304 in your Book of Common Prayer. Still remembered it. Good. The fourth paragraph, page 304. "Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking in the of the bread and in the prayers?" Amen. And as I've mentioned before, when I've talked about this baptismal covenant, we get out there and we say, "I will, I will, I will, I will," and then we don't because we forgot what? With God's help. We think, "No, I got it." So we somehow think that if I go back and ask God for help, that we failed him. Brothers and sisters, you fail God when you fail to ask him for help. He's the one saying here, "I'm here for you. I'm here to do all this. I am the good shepherd. Listen to my voice." And you go, "If I listen to him, I'm a failure. So I'm just going to find something else that will get me there." And there is nothing else. Nothing else. He says, "Come to me. I'm the good shepherd," Jesus says. And what happens when these believers come together? Verse 43, "Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." Every single day of the week, I get some sort of correspondence that someone trying to sell me on the next program that's going to build up the church. Some of them I look at. Some of them I think are interesting. I have, at time to time, got involved in one or two of those programs. But I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's just not that complicated. What did we learn from the church in the first century? You hear the message, you welcome the message, you get baptized, and you devote yourself to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of the bread and the prayers. What's that look like to us? Bible study, worship, coffee hour, dinners, the breaking of the bread at this table. and the prayers that we share for one another. What's it mean? Be the church. If you can figure out how to do that on your own, good luck. That's the world telling you something different. If you think you can find God somewhere outside of the body, you can't. It's the nature of the system. We have the Good Shepherd. Listen to his voice. Or feel free to keep running. Keep trying to figure out how you belong in this world. Keep looking at the worldly standard that makes you acceptable. Get to that standard and realize there's another standard. You can do that. It's a bit like running on a treadmill, though, isn't it? You run, 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 and then you figure out, I've gotten absolutely nowhere. Yeah, because that's what it'll do to you. And then convince you that you're going somewhere simultaneously, especially if you get one of those new fancy ones. The computer will actually convince you you've gone somewhere, and guess what? You still have not gone anywhere. Welcome to life chasing the world. You can continue in that if you'd like. I wish you wouldn't. I know it breaks God's heart, and I know that because he called me to be his priest, and it breaks mine. Every time. I also know the pain that it causes because I've caused the pain in my own life chasing the world. So you can stay on that treadmill if you want. You can go nowhere, because that's exactly where you're going to go. Or you can step off and into the living water offered to you through your baptism and a life in Jesus Christ, where you will find life and you will find it abundantly. What you need, where you belong, is in Christ.